Okay. Lot going on in the world. You know, when I think how the Lord said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," that's a true statement, obviously. And of course, the truth, probably, if we really kept everything right tight in context, is the truth of God's word. Well, we got to remember the truth of God's word also gives us a whole lot of information about the world we live in. You know, it's not all just about God and just spiritual things in a sense. Sorry about that. I eat them dry little pieces of bread and I get this frog in my throat and he crosses his legs. One of the ways that I believe that the truth of God's word can really be relevant and make an impact is when we can step back and look at the context of the word of God in the world in which we live, because we are affected by it big time. Just mentioned there, you know, about Godwin's building project. There's a global problem with the economies around the world and the increase of everything, and things are becoming scarce. You know, when the global economy, when our basic needs are not being met, this is where human beings begin to fear and worry and panic. It does affect us. It affects everyone. But this is what we need to zero in on is, well, what does the scripture say about these things? Now, we know that Jesus said that in the world we'll have tribulation. We know that Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars, there'll be pestilence, and there'll be famines and earthquakes. You can throw in the typhoons and the tornadoes and all the other things. That is a part of life on earth. Jesus said that ain't the end, that is the beginning of sorrows. But it's also always been that way. It always been that way, and it goes, you know, ebbs and flows up and down in various parts of the world. Now, in our day and age, we live in a pretty amazing time when we can have access to information pouring in from four corners of the earth at light speed. You can literally be watching a newscast about what's happening in Ukraine, and then boom, and the camera's all over the place, and the reporter's dodging the bombs that just went off behind them. Man, you talk about real time, and especially when you see the people crying and screaming and running, and it sickens you that in real time. You know, some of us remember during the Vietnam War, that was the first war that people got a chance to see in real time at the kitchen table, and boy, did it upset the American public. That's what turned people against that war so fast, because, buddy, it was real. You weren't watching black and white reels from something that took place 2 months ago. You were watching it live at 5, man. You could see helicopters and wounded being hauled in, and you could see the slaughter, and it just made people sick. They never had war brought right into their living room before. That was 50 years ago. We still got it now, obviously, because now we can see it in real time. And we continue as we, again, read our Bible. We want to see the truth of God's word about where our salvation and our hope of eternal life is concerned. But I need to understand that while I'm going through life down here with bombs going off, makes it a lot more real. You know, I'm getting, you know, information. You know, I do those studies still on Saturday, mostly with the Belarusians on Saturday morning, but the Ukrainians are coming on too, and it's been really pretty positive. You know, I've shared already some of that. But, you know, I've mentioned Anya before, our contact in Ukraine, and I told you, you know, she had to flee with her family from where she's at in central Ukraine over to Kremenchuk toward the west, but they stopped short of going into Poland because they didn't want to leave her brother behind. Okay? Now she's got re-engaged with the work. She's able to help people, even back in Kremenchuk, because everything now you can do on your phone, right? Hey, even they can too. You know, and I send some support. She gets it sent back to various bank accounts or whatever, to people running orphanages or whatever stuff's happening. Yulia, the poor mom that was really struggling with her disabled son, she had to get back, go to the village where her parents were at to ride this thing out, which may be safety for her because the village only has 18 houses in it. It's not exactly on the path that the Russians are using to go to the objectives that they're going to. So chances are she might be pretty safe in that very small village for now. So, but here's the deal. Trying to encourage people who in real time are suffering is the biggest challenge all of us face. You don't have to be over there. That might be kind of in your face, kind of graphic when you see the total destruction of cities and all these people, the bad things happening, and it's just totally frightening. But you know what? We got people here too. They may not be real bombs going off, but people got bombs going off in their lives. They got disaster. They have fears. You know, this, I said first, the economy. That's global, right? Well, so is the pandemic global, right? Isn't that what the Lord said? There'll be those kind of things, pestilence. That's what a pandemic is. Gee whiz, it's killed, I don't know, what, how many million people globally. The economy now, that's affecting us, okay? But you know what? This crazy Putin, man, and I ain't being political, we're talking reality here. In their doctrine of war, if they're failing in conventional war is guns and bullets and bombs. If they're losing, in their doctrine, they can escalate to de-escalate, meaning they can go to the nuclear option to use tactical nuclear weapons against the enemy. Now, some people don't realize that. Not all nuclear weapons are ballistic. In other words, they're flying rockets all the way around the world. You can fire a nuke out of artillery. A lot of people don't know that. And it would be huge. Now, they fired the next biggest, just below nuclear for them, the hypersonic. And they hit a munitions thing in the Ukraine. And that is a game changer. That hypersonic missile can travel 3,800 miles an hour, and we don't have nothing to stop it. There's no defense against a hypersonic missile, and that's below nuclear. Now, if this guy decides to escalate to de-escalate by using the nuclear option, America and Europe is not going to stand by. And these talking heads that keep talking about World War III, that could happen instantaneously. And that kind of an escalation. Now, what a lot of people don't realize, a ballistic missile can come from Russia, launched from the ground-based launch, in other words, from Russia, and hit the United States in 30 minutes. That's how long it takes it to get here, half hour. If it comes from a submarine, it's 10 to 15 minutes. The atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, well, the first one was Hiroshima, but it was also the smaller one, about 13 to 18 kiloton. Now, a kiloton, you got a picture of this, picture a pallet, you know, 4x4x4, that weighed 2,000 pounds, a ton. So 12,000 kilotons is 12,000 of those pallets. Can you imagine them lined up down the road here? 12,000 pallets with 2,000 pounds of TNT on it and detonate it. That's a firecracker. That's a firecracker. Nagasaki was 18 to 23,000 kiloton. We talk megatons today. The nuclear bombs are megaton. So a 1 megaton bomb is 1 million of those pallets. I don't know how far that would go down the street. 2,000 pounds a piece of TNT and detonating it. And we're talking 50 megaton, 100 megaton minutes away. You feel any security or safety in this world right now? We've already experienced the pandemics. We got this economy. And now these crazy people talking about nuclear. You know, God is in charge. I don't know who these people think they are. But I really, really wish I could stand up and defend my country, not necessarily in the physical sense. I'm too old for that now. I don't know. You never know. But I can't defend where this country's been going. I would have never even believed what could happen in America. It's happening in America. When I read the Bible and I see where Sodom and Gomorrah were at, now how can I defend the United States? My country. Hey, I'm as patriotic as they get, but I'm sickened. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God is not the Lord here anymore. He's a joke. I just told somebody, I guess it was Don, first hour, you know, because see, I saw some stuff where it was on a news feed that Ukraine actually had been making some real strides back to God, and that's a true statement. I'd almost forgotten it. Anya told me, she said, many people are turning to God. Now, I realize sometimes people turn to God because for fire insurance. God help me, you know, but they're not super serious. They just make the bomb stop, you know, take this away, whatever. Okay, I understand that. It's pretty normal. Some people seriously look for God because they realize, you know what, when I lift up my eyes to the hills, where will my help come from? The Bible says my help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. That's where we all need to get. That's where people have always needed to get, all the way from Genesis, all the way through the book of Revelation, to the end of this thing. This is what it's all about. It's what the earth was created for. That's why there is wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and earthquakes and famine and all these different places. It's the beginning of sorrows. Because the biggest major sorrow that will ever come is when all these millions and billions of people go right into eternity, never knowing what the heck they were created for in the first place, didn't care, and then died. And then all of a sudden they found out it was created for a reason. It was a spiritual reason, God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus, and I missed the whole thing. When we were in Ukraine a couple years ago, Anya took us, we went to a school in Kremenchuk, and, you know, I'll get a little tour of the classroom and walk toward the back of the classroom, and I notice these books and all this stuff. Of course, it's in Russian. I can't read it. But some had these pictures, like, on the covers. Well, the pictures of Jesus with the kids, you know, because this is a classroom. This is for children. A public school. I said, hey, because this whole thing was the religious section. They were teaching Christianity in the public schools in Ukraine. Because I asked them, I said, you guys can teach Christ here in the public school? Oh, yes. I thought, isn't this ironic? You go down here to Bellevue Public Schools and think you're going to teach Christ in that classroom, and you're a teacher, you're going to be looking for a job. They'll fire you. God is a joke in this country anymore. You turn the clock, I don't know, turn it back, turn it ahead, whatever. Europe has been that way for longer than us. We're probably 15 years, you know, 20 years, I don't want to say behind them, ahead of them, ahead of them. Where they're at is where we're going to be. Where we're at now, that's where they were at. Europe is dead. When it comes to Christianity, Alan Marsh will tell you, them great big state churches, you know, the Church of England, huge church buildings, massive, you know, they could seat 5,000 people, 50 folks. He said the African Pentecostals that are coming into England, they'll rent them buildings because that's what Alan and them are doing. They've been renting a side room off the Church of England for years. Gee whiz, one of their side rooms is as big as our whole building. It did. John McCourt told me that a long time ago in Belfast. He said, it did here. And now what are we doing? Man, these are scary times. Now, you know, when Jeremiah and them were preaching this stuff, warning, you know, the people of God of what was coming, they're like, man, shut up. We're so sick of that. But it happened, didn't it? All that doom and gloom, they didn't want to hear it. The world doesn't want to hear it. But I'll tell you what, when I'm listening to those guys talk, and when they talk about that Russian doctrine of war, escalate to de-escalate, you know, in a way, don't get me wrong, I ain't justifying nothing here. We did that, World War II. They knew after all the struggle we had island to island, those Japanese fought like crazy. And they would not surrender for nothing. They'd rather commit suicide than surrender to the American forces. They were fanatical to the max. So Truman understood from his generals, the last objective after all the islands, after Okinawa, after Iwo Jima, after Guadalcanal, Tarawa, all these islands where it was a heck of a fight. They knew trying to take mainland Japan, 1 million people would die. 1 million. Now remember, when we talk, if you're going to talk about war, don't just talk about how many of the bad guys get killed. No, talk about humans. Humans. In Okinawa alone, almost 250,000 Americans, Okinawans, and Japanese died. We're talking about the loss of human life. And that's what we ought to be concerned about, especially as Christians, because we have to have a global view. There is a slaughter going on in this world of souls, of Africans, Russians, Americans, and Europeans, people all over the world, South American, doesn't matter, by Satan. Because what's going to matter in the final analysis, you know, we have a picture at home displayed, you know, Sue's dad, you know, my father-in-law passed away, just over a year ago now. And there's a picture of him when he was a younger sailor on the Ticonderoga. It's a great picture of that huge battleship, the Ticonderoga, aircraft carrier. And then a picture of him, you know, as an older man, you know, both on there. It's just, I think Brian put that thing together, come to think of it. It's a great picture. That day when that Ticonderoga got hit by 2 kamikazes, killed a lot of guys. And just like you hear from these various stories of war, Sue's dad used to fix aircraft. He was a mechanic. There was some sort of hydraulic leak. But it was in a very tight place in the back of this jet on this fighter, P whatever fighter plane, down below decks. And he was, you know, he was tall, skinny as heck, but tall. And it was harder for him to get into that tail end of that thing. So one of the other guys swapped with him so he could squeeze into the tail to work on that hydraulic leak or whatever. Dick was topside when the 2 kamikazes hit. They went through the flight deck and detonated the planes that had bombs down below. It was a terrible, terrible thing. A lot of guys got killed. He survived it. But he died last year. Because it's the way of all the earth. So there was his friends that died back in 1945 or 46 or whenever the kamikazes hit the Ticonderoga. It didn't sink. It got repaired. But now he's dead, because it's the way of all the earth. That kind of death, the physical death, will happen for all of us. But what happens when we die is what the Bible's all about. Because the only death that matters is what state we're in with God's eternal purpose when we go. Our hope is now to get it right, to seek for God, to feel for him, and to find him. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're not going to have to worry about nothing else. We don't know what the future holds, but when people are talking about doing these things now, oh, I was going to mention that slaughter that everyone worried about taking mainland Japan, because that's where that aircraft carrier was heading next. They were going to have to defeat mainland Japan, and they believed over 1 million people would die in that fighting. And that's when Truman said, get the bomb. They've been making it. Germany was doing it too, but we had to beat Germany to that bomb, because if we didn't, we knew what was going to happen with that. So the decision was made to drop an atomic bomb on Japan, that we were willing to escalate the severity of the war to end the war, to de-escalate it. And they knew, someone said, drop the thing on a vacant island out there and just tell them, look, that's coming for you if you know. And Truman said, no. No, it has to be detonated over Japan. And they did. And what a shock that was. And that was the small one. And I think it was a week later they dropped the bomb on Nagasaki, which was the secondary target. It was not the primary target that day. They wanted the bombardiers to drop it visually. They had to see the target, and the primary target was cloud covered. They couldn't see it. They said, go to the secondary target. It was Nagasaki, and dropped that bigger atomic bomb. And Japan surrendered. They could not take another one of them things. It ended the war. That's not the solution for this. This is madness. But that's our world. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that. So here we are. We need the truth. I want to not only know the truth about God, I want to know the truth about this world he created. I want to know how this baby operates. And that's what God has done for us when he's given us the word. There's no reason we should be with... We have no excuse. It repeats itself. It has repeated itself over and over and over again. Every generation goes through this thing. This is our turn in the bucket. This is the time for us to wake up. We need to be the solution now to the problem. We need to be the light that shines in the dark place. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Anya said, people are crying out. They're crying out for God. She said, you come here now. You're going to have a lot of mission work to do. And that's well and good, but hey, what about mission work right here? See, I can say those bombs sound, they're loud, man. They're real, right? They're seeing it in real time, but don't think that the slaughter isn't happening in America right now. Because what really matters, physical dead people, or what about spiritual dead people forever? That's really what the whole thing is all about. God can allow this darkness in the world because the light is greater than the darkness. Jesus said, I've come as a light into this world. People don't have to be in the darkness no more. None of us can stop that stuff that's going on. You can't stop the economy going in the tank. You can't stop a pandemic. I laughed at one of them stupid cartoon things, you know, when... You don't tell anybody wear the paper mask for the pandemic, right? And it showed a guy who built a chain link fence, and his neighbor says, what's the fence for? He says, to keep the mosquitoes out of my yard. It's about the same thing. Are you kidding me? A piece of paper mask with all that air coming in is not going to keep a virus from you. Don't get me going on that. You can't stop the pandemic. But you can't stop these crazies either. We've had them before. We've had, you know, the world, slaughter, millions, Stalin, you know, his own people. Google it. The famine in Ukraine, right? When he wanted to take over Ukraine back in the 1930s, and they wouldn't give up. Well, he said, we'll teach him a lesson. I sat right at Anya's table with her mom and dad, Ukraine, and they told what happened when Stalin put soldiers up and down the road. You couldn't go near a grain field. That's a breadbasket of that part of the world, really. I mean, is Ukraine. Okay, it was a breadbasket for the Soviet Union. Stalin said, we'll teach them a lesson. They go near that grain field, kill them. Google it, millions of people. I think, 11 million Ukrainians died of starvation, dying in the streets all over the place, starved to death by their own guy. He said, that'll teach them. That's history, and it ain't 1,000 years ago. Right at their table, they told me that's what their parents went through, was that famine. There's a name for it. I can't pronounce it. Holodomor, or something like that. If you look up famine in Ukraine, 1932, what Joseph Stalin did, he killed, some say, as many as 50 million Russian people, his own people. You don't think we've had crazies before? Jesus said, that's your world. I allow that darkness, is what God says. I set before you good and evil, life and death. The light and the darkness. The light is greater than the darkness. That's why God can allow the darkness. But we have to unpackage the light. We are the people to do it. We are the people to do it. Jesus said, take no thought for... It's hard to tell people, like they right now, when they're up to their eyeballs and bombs, don't worry, be happy, right? Okay. Remember he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Matthew 6 and 24. Let's start in verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or about your body, what you're going to put on. Is life not more than your body? Is not life more than food for the body and more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, Jesus said. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barn, yet your heavenly Father feed them. Aren't you not of more value than they? Which of you, worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God is clothing the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Therefore, don't worry, saying, what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But seek first, here's your priority number one, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, new creation, transformation, renewing of the mind, putting off the old man, putting on a new man. That is seeking the righteousness of God. And what? All these things will be added. What? Out of thin air? Hey, God has his ways. David said, you know what? I've been old, or young, and I've been old, and I have not seen the children of God begging bread. I don't know how he does it. Hey, look, that's his promise. It ain't mine. I saw in the news Russian people making a beeline. They're swamping all the stores, man, and grabbing all the food they can get. Oleg said the shelves are getting bare because Lukashenko sided with Russia. They're in the same boat. But that's global, too. It's going to be happening and is happening here. Prices are starting to go sky high. And when the prices go up, then people can't afford, the distributors won't be distributing, and it's all linked together. Now, I'm not saying that as a form of doom and gloom. Hey, I just want to be forewarned is to be what? Forearmed. I want to be prepared. So what does the Lord tell me my priority is? Steve, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What things? The things he just mentioned will be added. Like what? Food. Clothing, whatever you need. Does that mean like an abundance? I mean like just, oh, no, Jesus said if you have your food and raiment, Paul said the same thing, you'd be content. Hey, look, even if it's in a bread line, long as we got our daily bread, maybe I had to wait in line. Maybe I had to go down on my appointed day. You know, all you that were born in an even year, you go down on these days, and you on the odd, yeah. In, I'm almost there, John 14. John 14. Jesus said, "My peace, peace I leave with you." 27, verse 27. "My peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Oh, easier said. That's easy to say, isn't it? Don't worry, be happy. Right. Jesus said, "Don't worry about tomorrow." Right. Do you realize how hard that is for us who live down here, Lord? How hard that is. But is it true? Can these promises be trusted? Do you know the Bible tells us in Hebrews 6, you know this, that this hope we have is an anchor for our soul. Verse 18, Hebrews 6 and 18, "By two immutable things," which, number one, Jerry Carpenter, wherever you're at, it's impossible for God to lie. Not that Jerry thought it was. Jerry's the one that always says it's impossible for God to lie, using this verse. "That we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." This hope we have an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. There's 195 nations in this world, sovereign nations. And there's one that was prophesied to come. Makes, I guess, at 196. But the world wouldn't recognize 196. It's the kingdom of God that was prophesied to come into the world, that all languages, tongues, people from every nation would come in. It is awesome to see the saints in Ukraine. I told you guys 2 weeks ago, those ladies that are in the drug rehab, they're kind of running it now. They've been, all drug addicts have been in prison. They said, "We have peace," because I quoted that verse. Jesus said, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives." They said, "We have peace. We have peace." They said, "The Russians are 20 miles down the road. They just set fire to our nuclear plant." But they weren't afraid. Why? They had peace. And I told you guys, I believe this. The reason why those ladies could have so much faith is because they've already been in hell. They've been in the Soviet prison system for bad things. But by the grace of God, they came out of that darkness and into the marvelous light. Slava himself, that ran that drug rehab, was a drug addict. And he was he's a Christian now, and Church of Christ guy, baptized into Christ. And these other people, the guys and the gals, are using that is a ministry now to reach people. Same message. That same message that came into the world 2,000 years ago. It's changing lives, giving people hope. This hope is an anchor for our soul, steadfast and sure. In today's world, when they talk about hope, that's wishful thinking is how that translates today. If you talk about somebody about, it's like, "Well, I hope it don't rain tomorrow because I wanted to get my stuff in." That's just wishful thinking when you say, "I hope it don't rain tomorrow." "I hope I get the job." That's just wishful thinking. When the Bible uses that term, hope, it means it's yours. It means it's reserved in heaven for you, Peter said, and it doesn't fade away. That's a hope that's steadfast and sure. And in Romans 8, Paul said, we're saved in this hope. Man, it is rock solid, and God can't lie. So who made those promises? If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added. I didn't make that promise. He did. And he can't lie. Now, things, I've noticed, maybe you've noticed, these exceeding great and precious promises from God. Sometimes when we ask God for something, "Hey God, I really, what was that old Garth Brooks song? Thank God for unanswered prayer, right? You know, I'm glad God sorts out our prayers with the Holy Spirit according to Romans chapter 8, because I might just shudder to think of what my answered prayer would have looked like if he'd have left it alone and answered the way I asked it. He's got the rest of the information. He's got the bigger picture. My experience in 40 years coming up in Christ is when God answers it, he answers it way better than I ask it. Way better. He's a good father. He knows exactly what we need. Now, he doesn't always do it the way you thought he ought to do it. I almost said something, but I'm not going to. There might be a reason God don't have a wife. I'm sure she'd be trying to help him. Are you sure you want to do it that? Trust me on this. Oh, dude, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. He knows what he's doing. He's got it. And he can answer it, and he will. I know people are crying out now in many places, for sure in the examples I've used, but people are crying out here right now. And I'll guarantee you what, if this thing keeps on, I'm talking about the way it's going right now in America, with this could become real bad. It could. I think we deserve a wake-up call because of how bad we've gotten in America. This is not blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord anymore. It was founded on that, but it ain't like that anymore. That cycle that affects all the great nations and the great empires that have ever risen has fallen because of the flesh and the sin, the darkness of the human heart has taken our country. Maybe. I don't know if this is the beginning of the end or a new beginning. God does know, but it doesn't matter. It does not matter. The only thing that matters is this musty, dusty, old message that is as relevant as if the ink was put on that paper last night. Has never changed, and it never will. Jesus said, "My word will endure forever." And this is the word which by the gospels preached to you, Peter said. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word ain't never going to pass away. Those exceeding great and precious promises cannot be broken. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about tomorrow. Take no thought. He said, "My peace I give you." It ain't like the world give. World ain't going to give you no peace. You think the UN is going to bring peace to this place? Or NATO? Or America? Or anybody else? No. No, the kingdom of God. Every language and tongue, people are coming in, man. They're coming in. And that's the only hope that any of us have, because this all ends one day. It doesn't matter. Like I said about Sue's dad. You know, a lot of guys on his ship got killed that day. Young guys in their 20s. He was 20, but he died at 97. But he's just as dead as they are. I'm just saying. That's just part of life. We could have this discussion 100 years from now if you want to. Let's make a deal. Let's meet 100 years from now under the tree of life. Be there. Be there. I know he's going to be there. That's right. You. Hey. His innocence. See, that's our hope. God can allow the darkness because the light is greater. So let's be there. 100 years from today, Tree of Life, be there, and let's have this conversation and see if we're worried about the economy and gas prices. I got a feeling we won't. But anyway, just trying to encourage you today. Thanks for your attention.